There's a common saying that goes, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. But that isn't necessarily true today. More and more research tells us that middle-aged and older adults can learn new skills, and they can even become experts in everything from musical composition to beekeeping to learning a new language. First, we wanted to hear from our listeners over 60 about the new skills they've picked up during the pandemic.
Hi, my name is Denise McQuinn. I live in Dallas, Texas. I'm 67, and I've always read and exercised and studied new things. I love music of all kinds, like Black Pumas, Alan Stone, Seth Walker. I'm also politically active, and I help register voters, and I send postcards to help flip Georgia blue. Just because you're older doesn't mean you lose your interest and sit down.
Hi, this is Nancy in Berkeley. I didn't set out to acquire a new skill, but I have done so kind of by accident. At the beginning of the pandemic, a cat rescue organization had to close down and empty out their adoption center. So they asked me to take in a couple of their unsocialized strays. The idea with socializing cats is to get them to where they like people and will make good pets. I'm getting more skilled at it all the time. I might as well, because I'm not going anywhere, and this is something useful to do, which is good not only for the cats, but for the people who adopt them.
More of our listeners have used this time to tap into their creative sides, whether that's meant getting crafty or learning an instrument.
Hi, this is Renee Button in Hillsboro, Oregon. I developed a new skill during this pandemic. I was going to make a quilt with the sewing machine I've used like 3 times in the last 20 years, and I couldn't get the sewing machine to work. So I did the whole thing by hand, and I ended up with a big quilt and 2 pillow shams that I made.
Hi, it's your friend Ellen in Pittsburgh. I acquired a new hobby. I have been repainting furniture and having a blast. My especially favorite thing to do is to paint filing cabinets. Boy, is that a piece of furniture you don't expect to have such a punch.
Hi, my name's Lucy, and I'm from rural Northwest Washington. I've started playing the guitar, and even with hit and miss practice, I've really found that it brings me so much peace and joy. I know, too, my husband has learned to sew, and he's 69. So you can always learn new things.
This is Doug in Portland, Oregon. A few years ago, I decided to try to learn ukulele, and in the last year, I'm proud to say I've gotten marginally better.
But your newfound musical chops aren't just instrumental. At least one of you is dropping beats in a different way.
Hi, I'm Robin Anderson. I am a retired woman in Portland, Oregon. And I wrote a rap tune about the COVID-19 virus and mask wearing.
It's a virus, people. It's basic biology. It's a virus, people. It can spread from you to me. It's a virus, people. Nothing political about it. It's a virus, people. And I'm sorry if you doubt it.
Rachel Wu is an assistant professor of psychology at the University of California, Riverside. And that's exactly what she studies. Rachel, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Tanzina.
Why do we persist with this idea that older people are not good at learning new things?
I think because anytime you're learning, it's really difficult. And, you know, you might forget how difficult it is to learn, or you might see kids and babies learning easily, but they're actually having a hard time as well. But as adults, you know, we try to learn and then it's difficult. And then we think we're having a more difficult time, you know, than infants and kids. But that might not necessarily be the case.
So your research, you looked into this and you've had some research about the ability of older adults to learn new skills. We heard some older adults on our show earlier talking about all the new things they're doing. What does your research show?
So we basically show that a large proportion of why we think learning might be difficult is can be accounted for by the kinds of environment that we have when we're learning. So if you have a teacher teaching you, if you have people surrounding you who encourage you, if you put a lot of effort in, you know, all of these things, And what we did was we had older adults come in. They were about 60 to 80 years of age, so around 72-ish. And they came in to learn three new things at the same time. And so these were really difficult skills, like learning how to speak Spanish, read and write Spanish as well, photography, drawing, and things like that. And so they came in for 3 months and kind of, in a way, you know, did one quarter of university classes, if you want to think about it that way. And after even just halfway through 6 to 8 weeks or so, they increased their cognitive abilities. They increased their confidence. They, you know, were just all over, you know, a lot of them said they were different people, you know, by the end of it, for the better. And so in terms of their cognitive abilities, though, they were almost like, you know, middle-aged adults, so like 30 years younger, you know, looking 30 years younger in a way.
You said that you mentioned, you know, it's hard. We don't assume it's hard for babies and kids to learn new skills, but in fact, it is a challenge to learn new skills. What makes learning new skills different from being an adult versus a child?
So there are a few things that we've identified. One is babies have no bills to pay, no responsibility, really, you know?
I have one. I know.
We do everything for
them,
right?
Yes, everything.
So, right. If you have an adult where everything is taken care of for you, how much easier is it to learn something, right? So if your full-time job, you know, and, you know, more, right, is learning new stuff, you know, how far can you get, really? So some of the things that we've identified are that babies learn really completely new things, right? And they're kind of in this open-minded, you know, state where they're not like saying, oh, I don't need to learn that. They're just learning whatever kind of comes to them. And another thing is, you know, they have somebody there pretty much 24/7 for whatever they need to learn, for all the skills that they, you know, need to learn. So, you know, if they want to learn the language that they're, you know, exposed to, there is somebody there 24/7 to teach them, right? That's not something that you typically get as an adult, unless you're trying to learn language from a spouse or something like that. But even then, it's kind of difficult. And then there's also this sense of a growth mindset. So instead of a fixed mindset where you don't think, as a parent, for example, you don't think your kids can, you know, be any good at, you know, sports or something, so you just don't push them in that direction. You know, like, especially with babies, you would never say something like, I don't think you would ever be good at speaking, so I'm just not going to teach you that. Like, that's just not something you say, right? Mm. You just help them and, you know, get them to where they need to go. So there's this really important growth mindset with especially with infants and kids. And then there's a serious commitment to learning as well. Babies are learning for survival. They're not just learning for fun, like, you know, hobbies or anything. They're really learning to survive, you know, essential skills. So there's this kind of commitment to learning where they just don't give up. And there's also a sense of, you know, it's okay to make as many mistakes as you want. In this recent book that was published by Tom Vanderbilt called Beginners, he notes like how many times babies actually fall by this research with Dr. Karen Adolf. And if you just look at, you know, yeah, babies eventually learn how to walk, but they also fall a ton of times, right? And it also helps that their body is a little bit rubbery as well, and so they can bounce back. And the last bit is that they're learning a lot, multiple skills at the same time. So it's not just one thing here and there. You know, there's something about learning multiple skills that keeps you going.
We are also, we're talking about the vaccine rollout, for example, and how complicated it's been. And largely, you know, we're saying, well, it's so complicated that, you know, it's largely because of all these portals and websites and the technology. But I even find some of that portals and websites and technology, you know, complicated at times. I mean, is there a reason why older people might struggle more with technology than younger people? Or is that also just an assumption?
It depends. I think, you know, some people will be similar and some people will struggle. But at the same time, you know, there are younger adults who are probably going to be struggling as well, right? Like, it's not, I don't think it's an age thing. I think it's more in terms of what kinds of systems you're used to, right? So if you've never seen a smart device in your life, then trying to navigate all these portals and everything will be difficult, especially if they're all through apps, you know.
Rachel, I have to ask you one more question, though, before we wrap, because I think for older people who might be interested in learning something new, we've got you on the line. What advice do you have for them?
It's okay to ask for help, you know, getting, you know, someone to teach you something. Not everybody's qualified to teach, you know, like adult children are not always the best way to go. But, you know, try to get some help and don't give up. And yeah, just keep going. You know, there's the main thing also, though, is that if we do, if we're able to learn, you know, and stay independent, then we're able to not have to rely on other people to do stuff for us.
And so that's something you think could be a motivating factor.
Exactly right. If staying independent is one of your main goals in older adulthood, then learning new things is the way around that to make sure that you're not, you know, dependent on other people.
Rachel Wu is an assistant professor of psychology at the University of California, Riverside. Rachel, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.